It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's February 22nd and 23rd. Valentine's Day has come and gone. The weather has been up and down. Some days great, some days freezing rain. I'm a big skier, so the mountains blow plenty of snow, so I've been on the mountains. For my running friends, big shout out for running in the Pat's Peak Winter Wild Series that Northeast Delta Dental sponsors. And of course, the presidential candidates have come and gone, and that's relevant to my guest today. So with me is world famous Roy Spence, author of It's What You Stand For, and really the mastermind behind the Purpose Institute. Roy, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know that you're a very busy guy and you do a lot of traveling, and so I appreciate the time you can give us this weekend, February 22nd and 23rd.
Well, Tom, it's always great to visit with you, and New England's one of my favorite places in the whole world for a whole lot of reasons, but I wish you and your family well, and all the family members of course, your organization. So, Coach, I'm here for you, buddy.
Perfect. And, of course, that's my nickname at Northeast Delta Dental. Roy, who has visited us in Concord, saw that in action, and he knows my wife, Ellen. And just in the spirit of transparency, Roy has done a number of presentations for other Delta Dental plans across the country and the national, and has been with us both in Concord as well as when we were off-site doing strategic planning. So we just had an election on Tuesday, February 11th, and of course now these presidential candidates and people I won't see for another 4 years, they traipse through, and of course we are considered, Northeast Delta Dental is considered a larger employer in New Hampshire, so we have access to it. So I'm not complaining. I think it's great. It's given us a great opportunity to exchange and have dialogue with presidential candidates on both sides of the aisle. So as you mentioned, Roy, I know that you have been involved in some, you've been in New Hampshire before and you've been involved with some presidential campaigns. What did you learn from those efforts, you know, being on the ground in New Hampshire?
Well, Tom, thank you for asking. And I was just kind of smiling because, you know, I've moved away from that whole field for a long time. And yes, I did have some presidential experience in New Hampshire, but I got to know New Hampshire in a different way, not on politics, but on purpose. Quick story, I think I shared it with you and your wife. About 10 years ago, I was watching TV and late at night, I'd had a pretty tough day in New York, which I thought was tough. But after I went to Haiti after the earthquake, I don't have any tough days. I don't complain anymore. But anyway, I was watching this show, Nancy Grace. She used to be on and she used to yell at everybody was bad, every doctor's bad, every day, you know, whatever. And it was about midnight, I just turned it off and I went, this isn't the America I know. So I immediately decided to walk across America. Now, Tom, I have a day job, as you know, marketing, purpose, everything else. So I went home and my wife was gardening and she had a shovel. And I said, honey, I've decided to walk across America. And she said, whatever. And so I started training for it because I wanted to walk through all through New England and then end up in Pennsylvania on my first trek. The reason I was doing it, Tom, is that I wanted to go find the goodness of America. And you don't find the goodness of America on TV or people yelling at each other in politics. So I started off in Conway, New Hampshire. I had a backpack and two little American flags. I walked from Conway, I think, to Lincoln, and then Lincoln to Warren, and all through there, I went through Vermont. But the thing I found out about the folks in New Hampshire was that, and I would just stop and talk and visit, there was goodness everywhere. If you take out religion and you take out politics, the things that divide us, we're all really good people. And one quick story is that I was entering, I think it was Warren or Lincoln, I can't remember, and I saw this older woman on the side of the highway, and I went over to her, and I said, hi, I'm Roy, and I'm walking across America looking for goodness. And she said, "Hi, I'm Dot." And she said, "My husband just passed away." And I said, "Well, can I help you?" And she said, "Well, let's go have some hot tea." And I'd been walking for 25 miles, and I wasn't going to miss this, though. And we walked inside, and she sat down. She was probably 85 or so, and she was a teacher for 35 years. And I looked at her, and I said, "You know, my mom was a teacher for 35 years, and I never got to ask her that question before she passed away." And I said, "Dot," and this was in Warren, "what's the difference between a bad kid ending up a bad adult and a bad kid ending up a good adult?" And she looked me straight in the eye, tear kind of coming down her face, and she said, "The difference between a bad kid becoming a good adult is that bad kid had someone, a mom, a dad, an uncle, a granddad, a priest, a preacher, had someone in their life that told them three things: I love you, I'm proud of you," and gave him or her a hug.
That's an awesome story, and it's a true story. And those of you that have met Roy that are listening to me, because I know everybody was really happy that I was going to have Roy on the show, knows that Roy is authentic. And he and as everybody knows, it's very difficult to go from Lincoln to Warner because 93 and 89, they always say you can't go east to west in New Hampshire. So Roy was doing a lot of traveling. And I would be remiss. I just want to, obviously, what Roy is going to be talking about today is the Purpose Institute, but I would be remiss to not identify Roy as really nationally acclaimed. He's the co-founder and chair and CEO of a leading national advertising agency called GSD&M, Idea City. And he's written several books, one of which was The Amazing Faith of Texas, Common Ground on Higher Ground. And of course, the book that I reference, It's Not What You Sell, It's What You Stand For, Why Every Extraordinary Business is Driven by Purpose. And of course, so here's a very acclaimed graduate of University of Texas, and now he's pivoted and is really talking about this this Purpose Institute. Before we get into that, though, would you tell the story? By the way, you mentioned Haiti, and I had the great opportunity of meeting Mitch Albom not too long ago, and he's done, he's done a lot of work, and like you, he's very authentic, and his book, Finding Chica, is right next to, and I'm not making this up, I have two books on my nightstands. It's What You Stand For by Roy Spence and Finding Chica by Mitch Albom. So it was funny that you mentioned Haiti.
I got to get that one. I don't have that one.
I will send it to you autographed. And like you, and I've met a lot of renowned people like yourself. Not everybody is authentic, but you and Mitch definitely are. But tell us, so you mentioned the, when we've had these natural disasters, how you were able to get, George Bush the Elder, Bill Clinton, and Obama together, President Obama together, how that came about?
Well, the first thing I've always believed, and I know this sounds, but it is authentic, and you know me, I believe marketing can be a force for good. We hear bad stuff about marketing, and a lot of it is bad, but we did a campaign called Don't Mess with Texas, and it was an anti-litter campaign, and we, unlike New England, Texas, was a littering state. I mean, just by design. And we used Willie Nelson and Stevie Ray Vaughan and all of these amazing people. And at the end, they just said, "Don't mess with Texas." And we reduced litter by 79%, not through federal regulation or state, not through fines. We reduced litter by 76% by marketing. So every time there's been, let's get a little teary on this one. I was in D.C. during 9/11 when it happened, and, our client is the Air Force, and we weren't going there. We weren't there, but so we were driving home. We were all trying to get home in a car, and I kept saying, "What can we do?" And so I just got on the phone with about 20 movie directors because we were driving from D.C. to Austin, and I just said, "I want you to film people from every walk of life in this country saying one thing: I'm an American." And we produced that in about 8 days, got it to the Ad Council, and I'm an American ran more than any public service announcement in the history of America. And that's not a brag. It is a thought that when you appeal to people's great instincts and good instincts, it's shared. And when, you know, Katrina happened, my son wasn't at Tulane yet, but he knew he was going to go. When Katrina happened, I got Papa Bush together and Bill Clinton together in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they hadn't talked to each other, Tom, in 5 years, and they became, literally, I have a note from Barbara Bush saying, God bless her, by the way, saying that was the day my husband became the dad Bill Clinton never had. You see, if we would get to purpose and not politics, we could have America be running not on common ground, but higher ground. And then when Haiti happened, President Bush, W., got him with Bill Clinton. They're hysterical together, by the way.
I heard that, yeah.
Oh, my God. And I got them together, and they did all this PSA work, public service for the folks in Haiti. And then 2 years ago, I was driving back from Yellowstone National Park, and it'll be a short story. And my wife and I were celebrating our 42nd anniversary, and we wanted to fly to Austin. We couldn't because the hurricanes, Harvey, had hit. And I get home, we drive 19 hours, and by the way, we're still married.
That's a plus there.
And I get a call from a guy named Bill Clinton. Roy, all the former presidents want you to help. We all want to do something. All four, President Carter, Bushes, Obama, for the folks in Houston, and you're the only person we all trust.
Wow.
And we produced the spot. We had those five former presidents, and by the way, they're fairly opinion rich, you know, but we got them all in the 32nd spot, and it was one of the prouder moments of my life.
And I see,
you know, that's what happens when you get to higher ground instead of wallowing in the political stuff.
And we need more of that today. And I've seen all of those videos, and I was tearing up too when Roy was describing both of those. So I encourage people to go on the Purpose Institute, allonword.com, or Google Roy Spence. And when you see the videos, the post 9/11 videos, and you see the hurricane relief videos, it will definitely bring a tear to your eye. So, Roy, we've got to take a commercial break. You can hang on. Is that okay?
Yes, sir, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Great. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with the world-acclaimed Roy Spence on the topic of why does purpose matter? And before the commercial break, we were talking about a number of the initiatives that Roy has done with our presidents in terms of post 9/11 as well as disaster relief. And I can tell you, if you do Google Roy Spence, or if you go on the website thepurposeinstitute.com, or if you buy his book, it's not what you sell, it's what you stand for. There won't be a dry eye in with you. And also, Roy is very authentic. He has walked across America. He has walked across to New Hampshire. He quickly found out that it's very difficult to go east to west, so he put a lot of miles on his shoes when he was trying to go from Lincoln, New Hampshire to Warner, which, as everybody knows, you know, you got to go down, you know, 93 and then up 89. There's no real shortcut to that. So, Roy, thank you for joining me. And of course, as you know, hanging around me and some other Delta Dental colleagues, our dream is now that everybody deserves a healthy smile. And it's not just people like us that have sort of traditional, you know, dental coverage with our employer or through the retail products that we now have called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. But there is a lot of people in America that don't have access to dental care, either because of economic, transportation, education, and other reasons. So we have started our sort of mantra of everybody deserves a healthy smile, which brings a tear to my eyes because, as you know, when people have a healthy smile, two things happen. Their medical conditions improve if they have those, and also their self-esteem. So how did you get involved? I think Delta Dental is pretty well known, but sometimes I'll mention Delta Dental and a person doesn't know. So how did you get involved with Delta Dental, and what do you think of the everybody deserves a smile mantra?
Well, Coach, it's interesting because I don't know exactly how I got involved with Delta Dental around the country. I was invited to speak to a group, and it just kind of led to others. And I've been to Arkansas and Chicago and loved all in so many other places where Delta Dental is there. But my trip with y'all was the most special. Got to go to Mount Washington and got to walk the halls of that great place and hear the voices of the founding fathers and the World War II and all that. But I think what I know the most now about Delta Dental is, like you said, so many people don't know necessarily the brand because, you know, you think of all kinds of insurance and then you think of dental only, I think, when you need it. But the culture of your organization, Coach, is one that's authentic too. And when I saw the whole purpose about we believe that everyone deserves a healthy smile, I'm going to pull this piece of paper out of my pocket because I actually hand wrote this. But I gave this little thing to your people, and I'll just read it real quick. I wrote the night before I spoke with your group, a healthy smile is not always easy for families. A healthy smile is not always accessible for families. A healthy smile is not always a top priority, but a healthy smile opens new doors that maybe were shut. A healthy smile brings smiles to others, and we all know that our nation and our world need more smiles today. Most importantly, a healthy smile brings an inner smile that perhaps had been lost, now found. An inner smile that says to yourself, I'm good. An inner smile that says, turns on the inner light that makes life more alive. That is the power of a healthy smile. And yes, all of us at Delta Dental believes that everyone deserves a healthy smile. It is our reason for being, our purpose, and most of all, it's our calling. And we are also called to share that with everyone.
That's awesome. That's so well put. And when Roy was mentioning he was at the Mount Washington Hotel with us, we also had colleagues from Delta Dental of Iowa. And to this day, people from Iowa are calling me, and then obviously our own team here in Concord, Maine, and Vermont, as well as board members from all across the country. And those of you that are astute and listen to some of our public service announcements, as well as more traditional commercials, digital and otherwise, know that this healthy smile is real. In the hundreds of thousands and literally millions of dollars that we're spending on the underserved populations, because as Roy just said, everybody deserves a smile, not just people that have the insurance through their employer. So thank you for being part of that campaign. I mean, I am so glad our lives connected on that, because I use you a lot as an example of how to get the word out. So you're involved in a couple other things too, and just shifting gears a little bit from the healthy smile. I've mentioned the Purpose Institute website. So you've launched this purpose inspired marketing campaign called Promise Land Project. And then if we have time, I'd also like to talk about your message that you delivered when I had you come back last fall to the Community College of New Hampshire. But let's start with the Promise Land Project.
Yes, sir. Real quickly, about 2 years ago, I was at our Colorado home, and Mount Sopris is right next door, actually. And it was in the winter, and I put my snowshoes on and started going up Mount Sopris. And I had watched Apollo 13 for the 1,000th time the night before when Tom Hanks says, Houston, we got a problem. So I got about halfway up the mountain, looked around to make sure no one was around, and I screamed, America, we got a problem.
Wow.
And walked back down, and I said, America, we have a marketing problem, and I have to say, stay with me here. All we get to hear pretty much is what they want us to hear. Politicians on all sides, the media, we don't get to hear anything but what they want us to hear. So I decided to take on America as my client, pro bono, from an advertising and marketing standpoint. I know it's audacious, but we worked it, we dogged it, we put it together. Two pieces of the Promised Land. One, there's an old country song by Tracy Lawrence that says, if the world had a front porch like we had back then, we'd have our problems, but we'd still be friends. So I got the Texas home builders, a guy named Mike Bickerstaff, an old fella from San Angelo, Texas. He comes up to me and says, I'll build you that front porch. And he did in 2 weeks. He and his workers, and we packed it up in a car, a big old van. Matthew McConaughey came on the stage when I was speaking, and I didn't know it. He says, all right. He says, you want to take that front porch? I got a dart, and I got a United States map, and I'm going to throw it. And wherever it goes, you're going with the front porch. He throws the dart, and it ended in Watford City, North Dakota.
Wow.
The home builders drove it 1,700 miles, and that next morning in When they got there, we were in the Rough Rider Center in Watford City, North Dakota. And the North Dakota home builders and us, me, and the Texas home builders put up this front porch in this place. 600 people showed up. We didn't know anybody there. And I get on the stage, and we had skilled workers. We had community college people. We had high school kids. And I said, look, people, we're going to have a four-hour conversation about purpose, not politics. For 4 hours, Tom, we talked about the things that matter, not one piece of politics. By the way, right now in Austin, Texas, they're restoring a home across from the convention center. It was built in 1875, and we're going to have the first ever permanent America's New Front Porch in Austin, Texas.
Wow, and I've seen that some of that video, too, and the Matthew McConaughey story is indeed authentic. By the way, everything, it almost sounds like this guy can't be real, but it's all true and authentic. That's what Roy's all about. So he was so fabulous when he came up to Mount Washington to talk about everybody deserves a healthy smile. But towards the end of that presentation, and this really wasn't planned for, almost as a secondary matter, Roy mentioned that he understands the importance of the community college system and that for some of us going to school and getting a certificate is where it's at, and if you go to a two-year college, then you can go on and get the four-year, and basically, kind of like everybody deserves a healthy smile, everybody deserves, you know, access to education. So one of my board members, Matt Cookson, who's a member of the Community College System Board, along with our VP of HR, Connie, said, you know what, the Community College System of New Hampshire, you know, needs to hear that message. So I was fortunate enough to pick a date that Roy could make it back to New Hampshire, in this case, Nashua, New Hampshire. And, of course, Roy did his thing. He was out, couldn't get a hold of him because he was walking everywhere. But there he was, and I picked him up. And then you really jazzed up the community college system. So tell us about that message last fall.
Thank you, sir. Well, first of all, part of the Promised Land Project is I believe that we have to respect the dignity of all work again. Growing up in a small town before I came to Austin, I worked in a warehouse with shipping commodes and bathtubs in 110-degree temperature when I was 16. The toughest job I ever had was roofing when I was 17 and 18. But I think at some point, you know, I started thinking about this massive high-skilled labor shortage, and I didn't know about it really until I started out. I did a commencement speech at Austin Community College, 1,200 graduates. And as you know me, I sat on the stage for 4.5 hours, and I shook hands and talked to every one of the 1,200 graduates. I couldn't, my eyes were so watery of the stories, second chances, all of these things. And I realized community colleges are my heroes, and they're all over, especially, you know, all over this country. There's 10.2 million students. So I decided to start this campaign. I'd love for your listeners to go to the website. It's called Make It Movement, and it's all about using marketing, again, to kill the myth that the only path to success is a four-year college. I want dentists to go to college. I want the doctors. I want anybody who wants to go to four-year college, but there's going to be a lot of you out there, especially parents, if you're listening. I'd like for you to stop asking your kids, what do you want to do? I mean, what do you want to do? Ask them a different question. What do you love to do? You can make a living and a life doing what you love to do. Now, if you love to sing and you suck at it, that's a different issue. But if you love to be outside and don't want to be behind a desk, community college, apprentice. So the campaign I launched is the TV campaign where welders, young welders are looking in the camera and saying, see that building behind me? I made it. And I make $75,000 a year. So what I'm trying to do is use the power of marketing, again, as a force for good to change perceptions. We need to have everyone have the opportunity to live up to their God-given potential. Four-year colleges are right for a lot of people, but a two-year college, you dang right.
Exactly. And when I was chair of the State Board of Education, we were trying to get that word out. And oftentimes, as Roy pointed out, it's the parents that have to understand that if I want to get my two-year certificate and be a an engineer for a car mechanic, that it's not
right.
It's not greasy mops anymore or whatever. And also that all of us probably going to be working till our 70s nowadays, so you better be passionate about what you do. So stumbling upon this at the end of the Healthy Smile campaign was like, Perfect. So my educator friends and my business colleague friends, those of you that participate with me in the Business and Education Coalition, we're going to package this interview and send it out to the New Hampshire community. Roy, you're amazing. Thank you for the
God
healthy smile.
All.
Thank you for making sure people understand about the community college. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for the Purpose Institute. Athlete, scholar, prolific author, and fine gentleman. Thank you, Roy Spence, for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom, and thank all of you. And I love New England. I love your state, and I love America.